The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a jar of peanut butter, and he's not afraid to use it. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Folks, this is a very special edition of the Eric Metaxas Show. We are right now going to play from last Sunday the extraordinary event that I had with John Zmirak in Seattle, Washington, at the Apologia Forum at Westgate Chapel. Really an amazing event. Do not miss it. Here it is. What's happening? What's happening? I just said, John, I think we're dreaming this. What a blessing. Thank you for having us. Unbelievable.
It's awesome. Awesome to have you back, Eric. And
I'm going to tell everybody, because you're too nice to say it. The only reason I'm here is because Pastor Alec wanted John Zmirak. And Zmirak said, no, I don't like to travel. And I said, I think I can convince him if I bring him there myself. So that's the only reason I'm here. And I'm only half kidding. It's because of John Zmirak that we're here tonight. I want to be very clear about that.
Well, I see a dog, so I know you're good people. One of the main reason I don't travel and do public speaking is I have two rescue beagles that I got, brother and sister, Finnegan and Rain. And they are so high maintenance that the only person who can take care of them is my girlfriend. And I can only ask her to do that a few times a year. They've gotten me evicted from buildings. And in fact, one of my favorite columns I ever wrote at stream.org is called Beagles Keep Getting Me Evicted. And it's about my long years of rescuing totally unmanageable howling beagles and trying to keep them in small apartments in the middle of New York City and downtown Dallas and Manchester, New Hampshire, and the various run-ins with building managers and neighbors and animal control officers. And anyway, I just go wherever the beagles lead me.
So it really is true that John almost never travels. And Pastor Alec, he said, well, maybe you can help me get him here. And so far I succeeded, right? He's here.
Yeah.
I never leave the house. I'm with the dogs 22 hours a day, and they resent the other two. I come back and they're looking at me.
So, you see, I'm sort of unnecessary up here. And I warned you of that. I said, I'm going to be able to say, ready, set, go. And with these two gentlemen, we'd be off to the races.
Well, I see that beautifully behaved service dog over there. Ma'am, don't try that with beagles. I did think that would make a wild reality show, Seeing Eye Beagles. Which shows you why I shouldn't leave the house very often.
So, we're so glad you're here. Wow, I think this may be the record crowd for Apologia. So, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for caring for the Pacific Northwest and our nation enough to take the time to come out and be with us on a night like this. Just very quickly, in case you are new to Apologia, I've been at Westgate for 34 years, and Westgate really for the longest time stayed pretty disengaged from political issues. We registered voters. I preached on difficult texts when the scripture passage called for it. But basically, I thought that if I didn't say anything controversial, that the people who were more sensitive maybe or on the fence would hang around where eventually the gospel would get through. Probably what a lot of pastors think when they don't get engaged. And then when COVID hit and we watched the systematic attack on the church, and really, it opened my eyes to something that's been going on for a long time. I actually, those of you who are Westgate folks, I actually had to apologize to Westgate that I've stayed disengaged this long. And so the best we could do to step into the arena for not only Westgate's sake, but for the churches of the Pacific Northwest is to bring in some of these guests. And wow, the first year of Apologia was just amazing. Thank you for your support. And here we are, 2023, our second year. And what a time to kick it off with Eric Metaxas and John Zmierich. I saw them. I was on study leave in Arizona and saw an interview between Eric and John. And John was so Eric's controversial, but John was so controversial, I thought, we got to get him here. So thank you.
You want to find out where I get all my good stuff from.
Yeah. Eric and I were born in the same hospital in Astoria, Queens. Queens, where Trump's from. People from Astoria here? Astoria General Hospital. We were born a year and a half apart. But then Eric moved to Connecticut, where there are nice people, where there are people who mow their lawns, who don't dispose of the garbage by dropping it out the window into the alley below, which was what happened in the tenement where I grew up. So, you know, they rubbed off some of his sharp edges, but I was raised by wolves in the forest. So I'm ready for the modern America.
We are doing a Socrates in the City event in Seattle, in the Arctic Club Hotel, where they have valet parking, and it's the most beautiful, it's a wonderful, delightful hotel, and I will be doing a Socrates in the City event, first ever, in Seattle on April 28th, and I hope many of you can come. It's going to be a very special event.
Who will be your guest?
Michael Medved. Michael Medved. Now, I want to tell you, you know, Michael, I've been friends with him for years, and we disagree on Trump, but I will tell you this. He has written two books. They're two of the best books I've ever read. Now, he's written many great books, but he wrote a book called The American Miracle. It is astonishing. He wrote a sequel, which basically telling the miracle stories of how America came into being. It is stunning what he's done in these books. And I said, I want to interview him at a Socrates in the City event, so we will be doing that at the Arctic Club on April 28th.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, John, can we jump in?
Sure.
You're going to try to get a word out of John? I don't see that happening.
I don't think I really need... You know, I've never needed a microphone before in my life. As my girlfriend says in restaurants, they can hear your political opinions in the kitchen. Please stop. But she's not here. She's busy with the dogs. So I get to say whatever I want.
That's what you're here for.
Can you start? I mean,
sure.
If you'd been in Seattle 35 years ago, you could be downtown with your children at night and be reasonably safe. And now, in fact, when you called and said you wanted to go to that Arctic Club, We said,
tried to dissuade me.
Yes, we did.
And I think I understand that, but I mean it when I say that I've been all over downtown Seattle the last few days. And I think if you have any kind of wisdom, it's like going to New York. To avoid it, I think, is silly. I went to Pike's Market yesterday. It was loaded with people. Mm. It was delightful. The life has come back. So I think if you have a little wisdom,
yeah.
I think downtown Seattle needs more of you guys there.
Yeah.
I think it will ameliorate things.
John, we've all watched with What Eric has said notwithstanding, we've watched our cities, major cities, deteriorate from where they were 20 years ago. Defund police movements and hit Seattle hard. What's the program? What's the plan? It seems to be happening nationwide, and it can't just be stupidity in leadership.
All right, I'll just give you a quick thumbnail, and I've written about this at stream.org. I don't know how many of you follow the stream.
Got to go to stream.org and read everything John writes.
It's a great website founded by the Reverend James Robison, a TV evangelist who's the guy who introduced Ronald Reagan to Jerry Falwell. Now, for those of you, the millennials here, Ronald Reagan was an American political figure. And Jerry Falwell was the father of a real estate magnate in Virginia.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Okay, what's the difference between the United States and Mexico? Well, a bunch of things, but one big difference is nobody's trying to build a wall to stop Americans from flooding into Mexico. And the Mexicans are leaving for good reason. They're leaving, they want something better. Now, if too many of them arrive at once, it won't be anything better, so we have to control immigration. But these are not terrible people. They're mostly not fentanyl dealers and human traffickers. They're leaving because of the kind of society that was set up in Mexico, that was set up in most of Latin America. But let's be fair, most human societies in the history of the world have been like this, like pyramids. They call them, one way to describe them is a hacienda society. The hacienda is the beautiful mission house on top of the hill where the conquistador lives and his servants and his guards. And he has a fence and everybody else lives down in a favela, a stinking slum, with no public services, no political power. And if they want anything, they have to make nice with the guys up in the hacienda. And the best hope for anyone in this society is to become one of the guards or one of the enforcers for the hacienda. Our elites in America have decided that the American exception of setting up a society that's a little more like a square, or maybe like a hill, where there's a top, but there are very gradual slopes, and it's not this radical collection of power at the top. Our elites have decided to take the slope and build it into a pyramid where all the money, all the power, all the influence, all the free speech, all the constitutional rights are at the top. And they weaponize the powerless, uneducated, dangerous, drug-addicted hordes at the bottom to crush everyone in the middle. So the reason there are homeless people living in tents a block from City Hall is to make sure that blue-collar workers and middle-class citizens and churchgoers never acquire political power again. They are trying to turn us into a hacienda society, and your rhinos, and I call them Vichy Republicans, your squish Christians, the David Frenches of this world, they're auditioning to be the guards for the hacienda. They don't want to fight the hacienda. They just want to be employed in the guardhouses. That's what Mike Pence and Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and Mitch McConnell, they are the guards for the hacienda. And I want to make it clear, the enemy is not Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The enemy is not Kim Jong-un or President Xi. They are like bad, dangerous drivers, and you're on the highway, and they're trying to run you off the road. The enemy is the guy who's trying to carjack your vehicle and take it away from you so you're on the side of the road with no vehicle at all. So the real enemy are the rhinos. The real enemy are the collaborationists, are the regime Christians, the Sadducees, the Caiaphases. Those are the real people to focus your wrath on. And
I have to say, because most of you wouldn't know this, but it's worth saying this, how I know John. Both of us come from working class backgrounds, went to Yale University. When I got to Yale University, I was in a finger in the wind, like I don't know what I believe, you know, willing to go along with whatever. And Yale was already woke, Marxist, lunacy, politically correct, crazy stuff. John arrived there, I guess, because he did not live in Connecticut, he claims, arrived there knowing what he believes and believing what he believes right now. And so it was many years later, after I was born again, that I became a conservative, and I saw John at a pro-life event in New York City, and I realized this is the guy that was right all along. Back when I was foolish at Yale,
Didn't people used to warn you against me?
No, this is true. A liberal Marxist kind of friend pointed John out at Yale and said, "See that guy? He's a fascist. He's a Christian conservative. Stay away from him." And I kind of thought, okay, whatever. That's, you know. But the point is that John was known for his beliefs.
It probably didn't help that I had bought all my T-shirts from Soldier of Fortune magazine. And my favorite one said, "I'd rather be killing communists."
Well... Right.
If you want to help your son stay chaste in college, get him these shirts. It worked for me.
Well, the reason I say this by way of background is not just to say how I got to know John, but it's to say that so then we became friends around, I don't know, the late 90s or something in New York City when I had become a conservative Christian and John and I became friends. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that I was still... You know, until the last few years, many of us were fooled by what we now call the rhinos, these people that allowed evil to happen and didn't fight it in the way that Trump or somebody, you know, in other words, when nobody's fighting against it, you kind of think like, well, the good guys are doing the best they can. And with the advent of Trump, right, and this is not to deify Trump, but the point is that he made us see that all these people that we thought were somehow on our side are worse than pathetic. They're horrors. They're nightmares. And I'm bringing this up because I remember having lunch with John, like, you know, in 2003.
I was a Pat Buchanan delegate to the Republican convention in 1996.
Right. But I remember in 2003, you know, I was a pro-Bush Republican, and we had lunch, and John tried to explain to me patiently to the idiot Eric, trying to explain to me why the Iraq War is not a bad idea. And I couldn't...
Not a good idea.
Oh, sorry, not a good idea. And I could not really take it in that here's a guy who is a conservative and a Christian, whatever, but he doesn't agree with all this stuff. So all these years have passed, and once again, I realize John was... light years ahead of the curve in seeing what most of us now see, that we've been suckered for decades by going along and going along and going along. And if you want to know how you get here, it's by having decades of people like those mentioned unwilling to fight for us and American values. And that's how we got here.
I wrote a column where I referred to some of you familiar with David French. I called him David Vichy French. because he wants to collaborate with the Germans. And he's hoping to get, like, little favors out of them. Oh, I can be governor of Algeria. The outrage. There were all these Ned Flanders Christians got all outraged on Twitter. And one of them accused me of violating the compact of civility. And I said, I just want to be clear. I never signed that. Show me the paperwork.
We have been naive. Most of us have been naive about what's going on. And I think January 6th kind of brought it to a head. And when you and I talked back behind the platform before coming out, I think you had a few thoughts about that.
Why don't you go? And then
I will rant for
45 minutes in German.
Yes. No, I mean, I think that I saw pretty quickly what happened January 6th. I thought, I mean, look, part of the reason some of us are slow in getting some of these things, let's just be honest, is because it's too horrible to believe.
Yes.
And it takes a while for whether it's me or there are plenty of people that are there still teetering and tottering right now because they can't believe what some of us know is true. And I think on the one hand, we have to give them grace. And on the other hand, we have to do everything we can to get them to see what is happening. But January 6th is the classic example. The election fraud is the classic example. Even if you don't, if you're not sure that the election was stolen, for you to say that there isn't ample evidence that it needs to be looked into, if you look at what happened and you say to someone who says, I think the election was stolen, shut up, you can't say that. That's when you know what is going on. And we've seen that. And the culmination of it in some ways was January 6th, which even when it was happening, I thought to myself, are you serious? Like, I don't believe that the people who went down there are those kind of people. Something's wrong with this picture. Yeah. This feels like a setup, like a lie. And the more time passes, the more that's obvious. And I believe by God's grace, very slowly but surely, the truth is coming out, thanks to people that John has pointed me in their direction, like Julie Kelly and others. But the fact is that I think slowly the facts are coming out. And all kinds of people that aren't here tonight, they're waking up quietly. They're not ready to announce it, but they're beginning to see some of the things that some of us have seen.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, today we have a special edition of the program. We are airing the conversation I had with John Zmirak on the stage in Washington State, the Apologia Forum at Westgate Chapel. Here it is.
Now, I'm sure we all saw that horrendous police stop in Georgia where the police basically murdered a motorist. That's what the police did on January 6th to Rosemary Boyland and three other Americans. And if you, to me, January 6th is one of the two litmus tests for any politician going forward. You're pro-life? That's nice. So is everybody who wants to win in the Republican Party. You're going to say nice things about immigration and the Second Amendment? That's great. Of course you've got to say those things. Where do you stand on the Democrats get to steal elections and you don't get to protest and we get to put you in prison for it? Because if that's what you say, if you're Betsy DeVos, for instance, who said nice things about education reform, oh, I want to fix public schools. I want you. I'm pro-life, but the Democrats get to steal all the elections and we send you to prison if you protest for it. That's like someone offering you $1 billion for your home, $1 a year for a billion years. You're never going to see it. If the Democrats get to steal all the elections and imprison and beat and kill people for protesting about it, everything else is moot. Means nothing. Nothing. My second litmus test is the vaccine. Now, just to avoid too much controversy, I always call it the dead baby vaccine. Because that's how it was made. And I decided, when I heard about this, oh, I'm overweight. That's my fault. That unborn baby didn't make me fat. I might die from COVID if I get it. And this is back when we thought the thing worked and we thought the thing was probably safe. And I thought, yeah, I've spent my life fighting abortion. I'd rather die than live by exploiting the kidney that was pulled out of the living body of a girl named Johanna in the Netherlands in 1967, which is what happened, and it's all an FDA sworn testimony by the Dr. Frankenstein scientist who did it. He pulled a kidney out of a living fetus because that's the only way the tissue is any use. They don't use leftover dead babies. They take live babies out and vivisect them. And if you want proof of that, David DeLeiden offered the evidence that Fauci is doing it now, was doing it 2 years ago at the University of Pittsburgh, pulling organs out of living babies, then killing them, and using them to graft them onto mice to make what they call sandwiches. We have a five-part series at stream.org. If you want to go to stream.org and look up Sacrificing Children, it's a five-part series on just how intimately the vaccine industry is linked to the abortion industry. And as a Catholic, I was so disgusted when Pope Borat told all Catholics that we were, you are obliged to take vaccine. Good times, great success. He actually made a papal medal celebrating children getting the dead baby vaccine. Children who don't even need it. And probably, anyway. So my two litmus tests are the dead baby vaccine and January 6th. And then we can talk.
And actually, again, if you want clarity, those are the two things that got my radio program, which was on YouTube, we were getting tons of subscribers, bringing people on to talk about this. And we didn't even do it a lot, and we weren't even posting all of them, whatever. But that was so offensive to the Marxist monsters who control YouTube that they completely wiped out my show. Now, again, even if you don't have a position on either of these two issues, you'd say, well, that's weird. Why would they wipe out somebody's YouTube program just for talking about those two things? Why are those things so important to someone that they will not even let Americans discuss those things? And that's when you know something is wrong.
And then we find out the FBI is coordinating with the World Health Organization, which is run by China, to censor Americans talking about their medical choices. If you remember, that godforsaken evil decision Roe v. Wade was based on allegedly privacy rights. The same people who thought that the privacy rights in the Constitution gave a woman the right to abort her 9-month baby and leave it dead on the table, but the hostess at TGI Fridays could demand to see her vaccine mandate passport. So privacy, where's the privacy? The utter hypocrisy of the left and the incoherence and fundamental dishonesty of their worldview is so obvious. The same people who call the little old ladies who took selfies in the Capitol of January 6th, they're insurrectionists. They need to be held in solitary confinement. They need to be denied cancer treatment and tortured. Do you know the January 6th defendants are begging to be sent to Guantanamo Bay? Do you know that? They have petitioned, please send us to Guantanamo Bay. We want to be treated as well as the rapists of ISIS.
That's
and the government
not a joke.
Said, no.
This is true.
This is real.
This is real.
They're begging to be sent to Guantanamo Bay so they can just be waterboarded occasionally instead of what's actually happening
joke.
To them. Now, these same people who want to do this to little old ladies were the people bailing out rioters who created an independent Marxist republic somewhere in your city. Those people didn't go to jail. Those people didn't get tickets. People who threw Molotov cocktails at cop cars and federal courthouses.
Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Folks, you are listening to a special edition of the Eric Metaxas Show. We are airing an event I did with John Zmirak last Sunday in Edmonds, Washington, Westgate Chapel, the Apologia Forum. It was an amazing conversation with John Zmirak. Here's more of that.
Kamala A. Harris, currently vice president. I call her the mean lady from the DMV. This window is closed. I don't care how long you have waited online. You'll have to come back tomorrow. Well, the DMV has taken over the country. So Kamala Harris was raising money to get them on bail. Michelle Obama, who I call the American Winnie Mandela, if you remember with the necklacing, the flaming tires, Michelle Obama went on television during the Democratic National Convention. You know, when they didn't have guys in drag and 100-year-old hippies singing, They had Winnie Mandela go on television and say, people think the riots can't get worse. They can, and I promise you they will, unless you vote like your life depends on it for Joe Biden. That's a direct quote. Why didn't she just say, nice country you got here. It's a beautiful country. It'd be a terrible shame if anything happened to the country, you know? I mean, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that it caught fire, and that would be terrible. Maybe you should, pay for some protection money or something. I don't know. I was just saying. Forget about it.
It's all. I mean, it's all so sick because it's true, right? And I think that some of you, I can't remember the last time I was here. I didn't talk about my book, Letter to the American Church. It was before that came out, right? But what I say in my book, Letter to the American Church, which I'll sign until the line stops tonight, because I'm delighted to meet all of you. But what I do in that book is I try to say, it is the fault of the church that these things are happening.
Yeah.
In other words, it's one thing to live in a country where these things are happening. That's bad. But then when you realize how many people in America claim to believe that Jesus defeated death on the cross, to claim to believe that they believe in him, there are people all over the world suffering horrors for their faith. Are we not willing to speak up about these things? I think that it's the injustice that gets us outraged, right? I mean, and you can look in any direction. But when I think about what's happening to the January 6th defendants, you could even forget about them and just think about, I think about my parents who voted for Donald Trump and were demonized as white nationalists or as, I just thought, that is not right. In America, where vast swaths of the population are demonized and treated like second-class citizens, in many cases, literally. But I'm just saying that these things ought to make us mad because this is injustice. And we as believers, I believe, are obliged to do something about it.
Yeah.
To scream about it, to act about it, to get activated about it. If the church doesn't do it, I believe the Lord blames the church. And the parallel in the book, of course, is with the German church in the 1930s. They had exactly the same reasons. Nightmares were happening like what we're describing in the early 30s. The church had the power to stand against it, and the church basically did nothing. The church was persuaded by the same arguments that many pastors and churches in America are giving today. You know, Romans 13, we don't get political, we don't want to be divisive, we don't blah, 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 blah. Bottom line, human beings are suffering because of the silence of the American church. And unless the church in America understands that it is God who calls you to get active. And if somebody just says to you, oh, you're being political, and you go, oh, sorry, if that's all it takes, people are giving their lives for their faith in other countries. Yeah. People are losing everything. It is the church in America. And so I really believe that's why I'm so encouraged by the crowd here tonight. But I just want to say that if the church does not stand up against the corruption, the injustices, if you're not angry about this, God will hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Because you're supposed to believe that that he has deputized you to be his voice and his hands and his feet wherever you are. And in this nation, the silence of the church is the scandal. And that's why I wrote this book. And that's why I really do believe it is possible to turn the tide if the church will wake up. Mm.
I have more to say about the specifics of our regime, which I describe as anarcho-tyranny, and I'll explain that to you later. But here's the fundamental question I think each of us has to ask himself regularly, not once, all the time. Am I a Pacific wild-caught Christian, or am I a farm-raised, corn-fed Christian? Now, what is the difference between these things? It's the same species, right? Jesus doesn't care. I'm sure Jesus served fish farm salmon to the apostles, right? Farm salmon doesn't have to swim. Farm salmon doesn't have to build up its muscles. Farm salmon doesn't develop any omega-3 oil, so it's not actually good for you. It's like eating a Big Mac. Farm salmon has to be dyed pink to look like salmon. This is the regime-friendly Christian. You have to dye him pink so he looks like a Christian. If you're, on the other hand, if you're a wild-caught salmon, you have to swim upstream all the time against the river. That river is sweeping you to hell, and your neighbor's with you. And if you don't swim against it, you're floating, hellbound in the river. Now, somebody pointed out to me, but those salmon, as they're swimming upstream, you know, they're about to die. I said, oh, they're sacrificing themselves for their children. What a horrible idea. Yeah. Oh, we wouldn't want to do that, would we? So ask yourself and, you know, ask your friends, are you a farm-raised Christian? You know, what would the FDA say about the omega-3 levels in your flesh? Well, are you even worth eating?
Folks, you've been listening this hour, and in the next hour, you will continue listening to my conversation with John Zmierich that we did on stage with Pastor Alec Rowlands at Westgate Chapel at their Apologia Forum. We still have a little left over, which we'll play another day. Also want to remind you, don't forget to go to salemnow.com, where you must check out Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom. By the way, it's free, salemnow.com. Check out Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom so you will understand why you have to avoid at all costs ever having anything to do with Walt Disney, because they have become one of those super woke corporations. Find out the details, Walt's Disenchanted Kingdom, salemnow.com. Hey, folks, today we have a special edition of the program. We are airing the conversation I had with John Zmierich on the stage in Washington State, the Apologia Forum at Westgate Chapel. Here it is.
I mean, that's obviously brilliant, and that will stick with you, I hope, because that really is the idea, you know, to mention my book again. Honestly, I'm not kidding. The letter, it's called Letter to the American Church, but the original title was Faith Without Works is Dead. Because that's what John just said. In other words, if you say you're a Christian, you say you believe all these things, if you do, it will be obvious to every devil in hell by how you live your life. It will be obvious to God what you believe. You don't have to say what you believe. It's obvious from how you live. And if you live in a way where you're swimming upstream, where you're actually doing things, self-sacrificial things because of your faith, whether it's for the homeless. I mean, when we talk about the homeless, there's public policy issues, you know, or you could go down there and talk to them. But the point is, if you don't care at all, which is like how many people are, they just don't care about the homeless. They don't care about the people in cities whose lives are being destroyed. They don't care about fentanyl coming across the border. They don't care about people being killed by weird vaccines. They don't care. They don't care if the election was stolen. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. And so the point is, God says in the Word, faith without works is dead. So if you are not evincing your faith, manifesting your faith by how you live, God knows that you are a farm-raised salmon. You can claim all you want to be a Christian, but if you're not living it out, if the church is not living out its faith in every sphere and pointing out corruption and living to change things from however you can, God is not fooled. And it's a scandal. I think it's been happening. You know, you talk about getting fat and lazy and complacent, but I feel like we in America have had things so good that we've allowed ourselves to think that you can be a Christian and do absolutely nothing.
Mm. Well, they want a patriotic church like the one in China.
Right.
A regime-friendly, right, obedient church that closes when they say close, makes its employees get vaccines, won't write conscience letters for people who say, you know, I really don't want the dead baby vaccine. Thank you very much. I mean, we have bishops. Our Pope said that priests should not write conscience letters. But guess what? We don't need the priest to do it. The Thomas More Society did a 22-page vaccine conscience objection, and any Catholic can download it and submit it to their employee. We don't need the permission of the priests or the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin to follow our consciences, because they're what we're going to be judged on. But let me go further. Let's say you even want to step away from the theology for a second and not think about eternal consequences. Well, you can't get away with thinking, all I care about is that they stay off my lawn. They are not going to stay off your lawn. The FBI is going to be on your lawn, like they were of Mark Houck, who just picketed an abortion clinic, and when a pervert got in his son's face, he shoved him away. The federal government is trying to put him in prison for years, okay? The federal government is in the hands of the abortion industry. We have an official religion in America, and it is Moloch. And if your church is not in trouble with Moloch, then it's doing something wrong. Mm. If the government is giving you contracts, then you're doing something wrong. I'm still Catholic despite it all. But do you know why the Catholic Church, with honorable exceptions, is so useless in American politics? 40% of its money comes from government contracts, most of it for smuggling immigrants into the country and resettling them. I said the Catholic Church in America is an immigration pyramid scheme and a gay employment agency with a Catholic problem.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.